All right, good to see you this morning. Would you stand with me as we begin our worship part of our service? Some folks say it's a worship service, but it's not a separate service. It's all the same. So let's stand together, shall we, as we rejoice together. Our hymn number is 86, number 86. Great hymn of the faith, great is thy faithfulness. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Let's sing it together.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and the springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning, my morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Aren't you glad we have pardon for sin? Let's sing it. Pardon for sin, and our peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord.
God's people said, Amen. I don't know if y'all noticed this or not, but this morning I was leaving the house about 7:15 to head to the church, and the sun was just coming up, and there was just a glow in the sky this morning with the sunrise. And this is a song I thought of, and I thought of those verses of great is God's faithfulness, that we do not have to worry when the sun comes up, but it's going to come up. And when it sets, it's going to set. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to wonder about it because God is great in His faithfulness. Take your Bibles, if you will. We're going to look at Psalm chapter 62. And instead of reading just verses 6 through 12, we're going to read the entire chapter. There's only 12 verses here. So we're going to read all of Psalm chapter 62. Then I'm going to give you a few little updates or prayer requests, and then we'll pray together this morning. But Psalm chapter 62, let's begin reading verse 1. It says, My soul waits in silence for God only. From Him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will you assail a man that you may murder him, all of you, like a leaning wall, like a tottering fence? They have counseled only to thrust him down from his high position. They delight in falsehood. They will bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. Selah. My soul wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. My stronghold, I shall not be shaken. O God, my salvation and my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Men of low degree are only vanity, and men of rank are a lie. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than breath. Do not trust in oppression. Do not vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God, and love and kindness is yours, O Lord, for you recompense a man according to his work. I do want to give you a couple of updates this morning. I received a phone call this morning from Noel Brewer, and she took a fall last night and hit her head pretty good. She didn't lose consciousness or anything like that, but she does have a pretty good bump on her head and probably a little goose egg, and said it cut her right about the hairline. And so days right now for Noel are just some days of just basically going from one day to the next and day to day. So if you would continue to pray for them. And then Maury Turner is due to have his bone marrow transplant on the 15th of the month. So let's pray that all things go well there as well. And if you did not, if you were not here Wednesday to pick up a prayer sheet, let me encourage you to grab one on your way out this morning and place that with your Bible and pray over all these requests as you go out throughout the week. And then we've got, seems like a little bit of a stomach flu going around. So I got some texts this morning from a few that they're just not feeling well this morning. So let's pray for them as well today. Well, let's pray together, maybe. Our Father God in heaven, as we come before you this morning, we do worship you in spirit and truth. Father, we acknowledge your greatness, your sovereignty. We acknowledge of how merciful you are and just you are. We acknowledge you, Father, that you are great in your faithfulness. We do praise you, Father, this morning that you are our hope, our rock, our salvation, our stronghold, our glory, our strength, and our refuge is found in thee. And now, Father, we come before you in full confession of sin, and we confess the sins of our thoughts and our speech, our actions, our attitudes, and our motives. We come to you confessing to you our sin as a people, but also, Father, we come to you in confessing our sin as a person. And may we come clean before you in full confession and repentance of sin. And Father, this morning, we pray for those that are not here today because of illness or sickness, or maybe they've just decided to still stay home because of the fears of getting out for fear that they may catch the COVID virus. And Father, we pray that as they watch online, that it will be just as good of encouragement as if they were here in person. But Father, we pray this morning for Maury Turner. We pray that as he is just fighting this battle with leukemia, that as he has the bone marrow transplant on the 15th, we pray, Father, that all that you would keep his body healthy and that the transplant would go well. Father, we thank you for their testimony. We thank you that even in the midst of this hardship, they have stayed strong in their faith and their testimony. Be with Noel and for Ennis as they go on through this time in their life. And I pray, Father, that you would just keep them healthy. And thank you, Father, for their commitment over the many, many years that I have known them. Their commitment to you, their commitment to one another, and their commitment to this church. Father, we pray for Gerald as he travels today. We pray for him. We pray, Father, for our shut-ins, our missionaries, those in the military that are deployed or those that are in training, those active duty, and pray for their families. Pray for our government and our leaders. And now, Father, we pray for one another. We pray, Father, that you would bless this service and bless this time together. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, let's turn around and greet one another, if you will, please.
Good morning. What a privilege.
Yeah, Dylan's got that boat.
As folks are greeting each other here in the service, I want to remind you, if you're watching online, this is the morning service of Lighthouse Baptist Church, Hope Mills, North Carolina, and we are glad you are with us today. Psalm 103 begins this way: Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Let's sing about that this morning. Worship his holy name. Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. O my soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. And worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, and worship his holy name. I'll sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praises unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Sing it! Bless the Lord, O my soul, my soul, worship His holy name. I'll sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. Yes, I'll worship Your holy name. Lord, I'll worship Your holy name.
Amen. Sing like never before. Thank you. Be seated.
Look at a few announcements. Thank you, Pastor Ken, for a choice of music this morning and for leading this in worship. Thank you to you and Diana for your commitment and the whole team. Yes. We've got a very special couple that is having their 25th wedding anniversary this week. So Mike and Sonia, happy 25th to you guys this upcoming week. So, Sonia, my condolences for having to put up with Mike now for these 25 years. But they are very, very special to us and to our church and our ministry, and just jumped right in and getting involved here and doing great things here at our church. Yes. So very thankful for them. So happy anniversary to y'all. Hope y'all have a great anniversary. Okay, just want to remind you a few things. Tonight we'll have a regular prayer and Bible study tonight at 6. Are you having practice tonight at 5:30? You are? Okay. And then we'll be looking at Genesis chapter 33 tonight. And we'll be continuing talking about Jacob returning back to the promised land. We'll be looking at the obstacles. We began a couple of weeks ago, and I was able to only get through the introduction 2 weeks ago, and then last week we actually got through half of that chapter. But then tonight hopefully we'll be able to finish it. But the obstacles that Jacob had to get through, okay? Look, did God ever say in His Word that the Christian life would be easy? No, it is a race, just like we talked about in Sunday school this morning in here, that it is a race that we have to endure. Okay, so Jacob had to run the race. He had to endure. He had to go through many obstacles. So we'll finish talking about that tonight. Then afterward, we're going to have a very, very quick business meeting tonight just to discuss just a couple of things that need to be discussed. So we'll have that tonight. So ladies, you have a couple of events coming up in the next month, and it's hard to believe they were already talking about February. Already. But you've got a couple of events. On February 6th, you've got a Soup and Salad Fellowship. And the theme that day will be our church theme of having a heart for God. It's going to be at 4 o'clock. Do need for you to sign up for either soup or salad. And then on the following Saturday, there'll be the monthly blanket blessings at Stony Point. The time is from 11 o'clock till 1 o'clock on that. Now, let me tell you about two exciting Bible studies that we're going to start. Next Sunday will be the last, This upcoming Wednesday will be the last Wednesday. We're talking about the history of the church through the ages. This upcoming Wednesday will be the last lesson for that. So then the following Wednesday, we're going to begin a new 13-week study entitled Who I Am, God's Self-Revelation, of how God revealed Himself to the Israelites in Exodus through Deuteronomy. And then next Sunday morning will be a last look at the book of Hebrews of chapter 13. So then the following Sunday during the Sunday school hour in here, we're going to be talking about the true story of the Old Testament, responding to God's revelation and redemption. So those are going to be some great studies that will begin on Wednesday and also on Sunday morning in the Sunday school hour. And then this morning we're going to begin looking at 2 Timothy. So there are the rest of the announcements that you can look at and become acquainted with. If you have any Any questions, feel free to ask, and we'll put you in the right area. We still need, Tom, you still need two more people, right, Nawana, to help out, just even listen to their Bible verses, right?
One would be fine.
One would be fine, yep, one, however many would help. But I also want to thank Joyce and Richard Ramos. They're the ones that really put forth the financing for the new hymnals. And they did it in memory of their son, Christopher, who died tragically back in the mid-90s. And Joyce and Richard, thank you so much for the purchase of the hymnals. And we're slowly getting through and putting the stickers in our hymnals. But we love you guys, and we're very thankful for your contribution to the hymnals. And they're already a blessing to us. So I want to say thank you for that. All right, Pastor Ken.
And let's take our hymnals again. Number 91 is our number. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. Number 91. Let's stand together. Three wonderful verses as we sing them together.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care, gave his son to win. The erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, so rich and pure, how measureless and strong, shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When years of time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so pure and still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, saints and angels' song. Could we withink the ocean feel, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll although stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song.
Very good singing today. Thank you. Be seated. Team, you're dismissed. Pastor's coming to preach the word together today.
I failed to mention the Knowles family this weekend. Her grandmother passed away. They've been praying for many weeks. Martha Morrison, she passed away this past week. And so pray for them as they travel back tomorrow from Tennessee. The funeral and burial was there in Tennessee this past weekend. So pray for them. Pray for her dad, who was just really having a tough time with his mother passing. And it's not so much that she passed. I mean, she has had Alzheimer's and dementia for several years, but unless in recent days she made some sort of a deathbed right of mind, she died without Christ, and both her and his dad both died without Christ. So he's just having a tough time dealing with the fact that both of his parents are not in heaven. And so pray for him. His name is Jack. You know, he's been here several times. Retired FBI agent. So pray for him, if you will. His name is Jack. So pray for him. All right, we're going to start a new study this morning. We finished up 1 Timothy last week. So I'm going to invite you to take your Bibles, if you have them, which I hope you do, and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I tell you, I love going through books of the Bible. It is just, it is exciting to me to start a new book. It's exciting to me to learn about a new book, and I learn things every time I read through a book. I learn new things, and the Lord reveals new things about Himself, and new things about His character and about His characteristics and His attributes. And so, as we begin this study of 2 Timothy, I hope that it will be a very encouraging book for you as we study through it. We're going to stay with that same theme that we had with 1 Timothy, and that is to stay faithful. To stay faithful. That was the whole theme throughout 1 Timothy, and that theme continues on into 2 Timothy. So let's read verses 1 through 5 together, and then we'll pray, and then I'm going to give you for quite a bit this morning, before we actually get into the points, I'm going to give you a little bit of quite a bit of an introduction about the time and the place and the background, what was going on in the life of the Apostle Paul as he was writing this letter. And we're going to look at those things this morning, and then we'll actually get into the verses today. So let's read verses 1 through 5. It says, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." Well, let's pray together. And as we pray, I'm going to ask if you will pray silently, and as I pray out loud, and let's dedicate this study, as we always do when we begin a new study of a new book. Pray that we'll dedicate this study to the Lord, and that the Lord will use this study to work in our hearts and our lives, and to help us to grow in our sanctification, and to help us grow in our dedication and our daily walk with the Lord. So let's pray together, maybe. Our Father God in heaven, we do thank you for your word. We do thank you, Father, for the inspiration of your word. We do thank you, Father, that you gave us your word to reveal to us your mind, to reveal to us your character, to reveal to us of how you want us to live, to teach us, to strengthen us, to convict us, to comfort us, to help us to grow in our walk, to help us to grow in our sanctification. And now, Father, let's begin this new study of 2 Timothy and to be encouraged in how to stay faithful. We pray, Father, that as we begin this study, we dedicate it to you, and we ask you, Father, through the Holy Spirit and to the examination of your word, I pray, Father, that you would use it, first and foremost, to your glory, but then secondly, that you will use it to draw people to Christ, to strengthen the brethren, to strengthen your church, and to strengthen us, to help us to grow in our daily walk with you, in our sanctification, and to be a stronger witness for you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, we could say that this book of 2 Timothy is the last words of the Apostle Paul. I remember reading a book. It was kind of a weird book to read. I don't know why I read it. But a number of years ago, I came across this book. It was called The Last Words of Famous People. And some of them were people on their deathbed that were their last words to their family. And they were, many of them were believers, but many of them were not believers. And many of these people that were dying, you know, some of them were dying at the hands of the executioner as they were being led to the execution chamber, their last words. And I'll tell you, some of them were really creepy. But we could say here that this book of 2 Timothy is the last words of the Apostle Paul. We could say that it was really his last will and testament. Because the Apostle Paul was facing death, and he knew it. He knew that he was facing an execution at the hands of the evil Roman emperor, probably the most evil Roman emperor other than Marcus Aurelius. The most evil of them all was the Roman Emperor Nero. Let me give you a little bit of the background of this book here. In AD 64, Nero, he had been in power now for about 4 years. He was not well liked. He was despised by even the most loyal of Roman citizens. He was despised. He was hated because he was such a evil dictator. But in order to turn the tide against him, to be for him, he had the city of Rome burned down. Now, everyone knew that it was him that burned it down. But no one dared raise a finger against Nero, because if you betrayed him, you would be executed. So what did he do? Well, there was another group of people that were equally despised by the Roman people. Those were the Cretans. If you know anything about the word Cretan, it means ignorant one. It means those that are ignorant or those that are unlearned. It is the word that we get the word Christian from. Or little Christ. So the Roman people considered Christians to be Cretans, to be ignorant, to be those that were undesirables. They were not, they were treated as a second class of people, and they were hated because they did not worship the gods of the Romans. They worshiped Christ. So what did Nero have done? Well, he ordered all people that were known to be Christians to be arrested, to be imprisoned, to be tortured, and to be executed. He blamed the burning of Rome. He blamed the Christians. Now, I want to read to you, it's a kind of lengthy segment here from Fox's Book of Martyrs, but he said this. He said, a generation after the death of Christ, Christianity had reached Rome in the form of an obscure offshoot of Judaism that was popular among the city's poor and destitute. Members of this religious sect spoke of the coming of a new kingdom and a new king. These views provoked suspicion among the Jewish authorities, who rejected the group, and fear among the Roman authorities, who perceived these sentiments as a threat to the empire. In the summer of 64, Rome suffered a terrible fire that burned for 6 days and 7 nights, consuming almost 3/4 of the city. The people accused the Emperor Nero for the devastation, claiming he set the fire for his own amusement. In order to deflect these accusations and to placate the people, Nero laid blame for the fire on the Christians. You see, they hated the Christians more than they hated Nero. The emperor ordered the arrest of a few members of the sect who, under torture, accused others until the entire Christian populace was implicated and became fair game for retribution. As many of the religious sect that could be found were rounded up and put to death in the most horrific manner for the amusement of the citizens of Rome. The ghastly way in which the victims were put to death aroused sympathy among many Romans, although most felt their execution justified. The Roman historian Tacitus wrote this. He said, therefore, to stop the rumor that he had set Rome on fire, he, the Emperor Nero, falsely charged with guilt and punished with the most fearful tortures. The persons commonly called Christians, who were generally hated for their enormities. Christus, the founder of that name, was put to death as a criminal by Pontius Pilate. He was the procurator of Judea in the region of Tiberias. But the superstition was repressed for a time, broke out yet again, not only through Judea, where the mischief originated, but through the city of Rome also, whither all things horrible and disgraceful flow from all quarters as to a common receptacle, and where they are encouraged. Accordingly, first those who were arrested confessed that they were Christians. Next, on their information, a vast multitude were convicted, not so much on the burning of the city of Rome, but they hated the human race. In their very deaths, they were made the subjects of sport. They were covered with the hides of wild beasts. They were worried to death by dogs. They were nailed to crosses. They were set fire to. And even the day waned, they were burned to serve for the evening lights. Nero offered his own garden players for the spectacle and exhibited games, indiscriminately mingling with the common people in the dress of a charioteer or else standing in his chariot. For this cause, a feeling of compassion arose toward the sufferers. Though guilty and deserving of exemplary capital punishment, because they seemed not to be cut off for the public good, but were victims of the ferocity of one man. So this letter that was written by the Apostle Paul was written to his young son in the ministry during his second Roman imprisonment. His first imprisonment was basically a house arrest in which he was able to come and go. He could have visitors. It was basically underneath a protective custody. But his second imprisonment was different. It was 6 years later. He was placed in a dungeon. It was a harsh prison. He was chained. He had no sanitation. He had no lighting. And the only relief that came to those that were underneath such harsh imprisonment was death. But not only was he imprisoned and looking forward to be put to death by execution, he was deserted by everyone except for two people, Onesiphorus and Luke. They were the only two people that stayed with him. Everyone else deserted him. So the purpose of this book is to give the final instructions to Timothy, who at that time was a young pastor of the Church of Ephesus. It was written by the Apostle Paul to reveal his heart and priorities. His heart and his priority is simply this: preach and teach sound doctrine, be steadfast in the faith, be confident as he endures suffering, have a lasting love for God and his word. But the wider purpose is to encourage every believer to seek strength and pursue faithfulness in our spiritual service in the work of the Lord. Now, what is the theme verse? I want you to look at chapter 2, verse 15. This is the theme verse of this entire book. So chapter 2 and verse 15 says this: be diligent. What does it mean to be diligent? It means to be always doing it. To always be doing it, to having a goal in mind. So what should be our goal in our diligence? Well, to present yourself approved to God as a what? A workman who needs not to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. So we're going to look this morning at how can we use the book of 2 Timothy to motivate one another to godliness. To motivate one another to godliness. Let me ask you this question. Should we be motivating one another to godliness or to ungodliness? Well, I hope that you would say godliness. I hope that you would say, I want to encourage my brothers and sisters in Christ, to pursue holiness, to pursue godliness, to do the things that the Lord wants us to do in our lives, of being obedient in our lives and to grow in our sanctification. So let me give you the first point. That's in verse 1, and that is the great call given to the Apostle Paul. The great call that was given to the Apostle Paul. We see here a call. And now what was that call? He said, Paul, an apostle. Now, if you will note, in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, there are two groups of people that follow Christ. There are the disciples and then the apostles. Now, many people will say the 12 disciples. Now, they are not wrong. They were disciples. But they were also apostles. A disciple just simply means a follower. So it is believed by most commentators that Christ had up towards 200 disciples that would follow him everywhere he went. They would just follow him. Remember the time where Christ turned around and said, if you're not willing to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy to be called my disciple. And they all left except for the 12. And they said, well, we have left all to follow you. So out of those 200, there were the 12 that were chosen to be his apostles. So Paul being an apostle. Okay? There were some requirements to be an apostle. One of those requirements were you had to be chosen specifically by Christ. Was Paul specifically called by Christ? Yes. On the road to Damascus, he was specifically called by Christ. Another criteria was this. He had to see the risen Lord. He had to see the risen Lord. Did Paul see the risen Lord? Yes, he did. On the road to Damascus. So, when you see on church signs today, you see this church is pastored by the apostle so-and-so. Well, they are not an apostle. Unless they had onions for supper the night before and they had a dream. Or they ate too much cheese and they had a dream of where they saw Jesus. Okay? Okay, they're not apostles. You had to see the risen Lord in order to be an apostle. Or you maybe ate some of Yvonne's muffins this morning. And then, just joking. All right. Okay. Okay? But you had to see the risen Lord. So Paul says that it is a great call that was given to me by Christ. So the first step in motivating people to godliness is the recognition of God called authority. Here we see Paul naming himself as an apostle. The word apostle comes from the Greek word which means apostolos, which means a delegate, a messenger, one sent forth with orders. The apostle Paul viewed his apostleship as a direct order. It was established and understood by Timothy that Paul was sent as a messenger with direct authority by Christ himself. And Paul has also reminded Timothy that despite their close relationship, Paul still clearly ranks above Timothy in spiritual leadership. Now, how did Paul view his apostleship? Well, he viewed it as a great honor because he was chosen by the will of God. He viewed it with great responsibility because God chose Paul because he had great plans for him. God chose him to be a great instrument. He viewed it as a great privilege. He viewed his calling as a great privilege of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to others. So let me ask you two questions. Do you view the calling of God to salvation as an honor? Think of this for a moment. That God, the creator of this universe, chose you. Just think of that. Just try as possible as your limited mind can grasp it, that God, the creator of the universe, chose you. I want you to listen to this. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. To the saints who are at Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him when? Before the foundation of the world. If you are a believer here today, God chose you before creation. The creator of this world chose you. He then goes on to say here that we would be holy and blameless before Him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory and of His grace with which He favored us in the Beloved. Secondly, do you view the calling of God to service with great responsibility? Now think of this. I mentioned this in Sunday school this morning. That with great privilege comes what? Great responsibility. We have been chosen by God to salvation. It is not a right. It is a privilege. Colossians 3, 12 through 7. I'm not going to read all of this, but it says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgive one another as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And do you view the calling of God as a great privilege? As believers in Christ, it is our responsibility to share the gospel with others. As I mentioned this past Wednesday, as we looked at the lives of David Brainerd, David Livingston, J. Hudson Taylor, and many, many of those great missionaries that laid the foundation for what we now know as the great missionary movement, how they all endured suffering, how they all endured sickness, how they all endured death of family. The one that went to Burma, whose name mistakes me now, lost his wife, lost six, he lost two wives and lost six children while he was on the mission field. Did not have one convert while he was for his first 7 years while he was on the mission field. But he translated the scriptures over and into seven different languages. The Old and New Testament, and then in 12 other languages was the New Testament. But if you were to go home today and to take out, and me too, I'm just saying all of us, if we were to take out a pad and a pencil or a pen and write down our biography of our walk with the Lord, how thick would it be? Or, how thin would it be? Let's look at the second thing. And that's in verse 2. Where it says, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is the Apostle Paul's love and concern for his son in the ministry. I want you to know three words. There's grace, mercy, and peace. The word grace comes from the word charis, which means this, a merciful kindness by which God, exerting His holy influence upon souls, turns them to Christ, keeps, strengthens, increases them in Christian faith, knowledge, affection, and kindles them to the exercise of the Christian virtues. Do we deserve God's grace? No. Not at all. It is only by God's love that He gives us grace. Then there's the second word, and that is mercy. It comes from the Greek word eleos, which simply means this, of God towards men. and general providence, the mercy and clemency. Okay? Clemency. What does it mean, clemency? It means to pardon. It means that that person has been found guilty of a crime. But a person who is in greater authority gives clemency or pardoned that person. Yes, they were guilty, but they have been given clemency or pardon from the charge that they have been found guilty of. Are we guilty of sin? Yes. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all guilty. But yet, we receive mercy. The mercy and clemency of God in providing an offering to men salvation by Christ. And there is the word peace. The Greek word is irene, which we get the word serene from. It is a tranquil state of a soul that is assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and content with his earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is. So the Apostle Paul is reminding Timothy that he is to continue living a life in full peace of mind and full peace of heart, and has an inner peace that is only produced by God's loving grace and his divine grace and his divine mercy. So the key point is here is, do you know of God's grace? Do you know of God's mercy? Do you know of God's peace? Have you embraced his grace? Have you embraced his mercy? Have you embraced his peace? And we need to allow God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace, that should motivate us to motivate others and push us of knowing that God's grace is in our lives, of knowing of God's mercy and knowing of God's peace should push us and also use us to push one another to godliness. Then there's number three. Let's look at the very beginning of verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did. So number three is the Apostle Paul and his clear conscience. Now I want you to note three phrases here. First one is, I thank God for you. I thank God for you, or I thank God. The Apostle Paul is saying that not only is he a blessing to Timothy, but Timothy is a blessing to Paul. Let me be quite honest and transparent here. By you coming to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, working in Awana, greeting, sweeping, mopping, whatever it is an encouragement to me. It's a blessing to me. You know why? Because you're faithful. Okay? I've had people over the years, Pastor, how can I be a blessing to you? I'll just sum it up real quick. Be here. Just be here. Okay? Be faithful. And wherever it is in ministry here at this church that you feel led for God to direct you to, whether it be just listening to children say their scripture memory verses in Awana, whether it be to work in your one Sunday a month in the nursery, or whether it just be to come and to sit in your seat every Sunday, that I can look at that seat and see that you're here. That's a blessing. That's an encouragement to me. And Paul is saying here, Timothy, I know that my letters to you has been encouragement to you. But by knowing that you are being faithful to that church at Ephesus is an encouragement and a blessing to me. Now, I want you to look at the second phrase, and that is, I serve. I serve. It means to render religious service, to worship, to offer gifts, to worship God in the observance of the rites instituted for worship, to discharge a sacred office. And then thirdly, there is a clear conscience. Paul is saying here that my conscience does not accuse me. It does not condemn me. It excuses me. Because he has served Christ faithfully, wholeheartedly. So the key point behind this, of point number three, and that is that serving the Lord with others and being faithful with a wholeheartedness should motivate us to godliness. Then there's number four. The latter part of verse 3 says, I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day. So the Apostle Paul in his prayers for Timothy. Now I want you to note something. How often was he praying for Timothy? Did he say once in the morning? Once in the afternoon? Once in the evening? No, he says constantly, night and day. So he was in constant prayer for his young son in the ministry. He was being a priest before the throne of God on behalf of Timothy. He was praying in total devotion for Timothy. Ephesians 6:18 says this, with every prayer and request, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be alert with all perseverance and every request for all the saints. Now, what is this? Okay, just in case you can't see it, let me tell you what the front of it says. It says, Lighthouse Baptist Church, January 20th, 2021, prayer sheet. Why do I print these off on Wednesdays? Now, let me ask you another question. What if your name was in here? What if your name was in here sick with cancer? What if your name was on here waiting for a bone marrow transplant? What if your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife was on this prayer sheet and they were terminal? Okay? You get my point? My point is this. Don't just discard this as saying, well, we just need to print prayer sheets and we can say we have a prayer sheet out there. No. It's a reminder and a help to you as a reminder to pray with and for one another. Okay, we have on the back our missionaries, military. Okay, we have on the inside, we have our church needs, we have the lost. We have those with cancer, we have those with other health issues, those that are general needs, Gerald Foster, Bob Johan, that travel every day, long distance driving in trucks, our school year, those that are trying to adopt, shut-ins, our government, and once again, our military, our missionaries. Okay? We are to be a people of prayer. What did Paul say? Paul said to what? Pray 2 minutes a day? Pray the blessing? Rub-a-dub-dub, thank you God for the food? No. We are to pray what? Without ceasing. We are to be constantly in the attitude of prayer. So our prayers with and for one another. So how do you pray for one another? Do you pray that, Lord, help them to be a good boy and be a good girl today? No. We should pray that they will be motivated for godliness. That they will be motivated to grow in their sanctification. And then there's number five. And that's in verse 4. Longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. So here we see the Apostle Paul and his affection for Timothy. His affection. What does Paul mean by this? Well, he is saying that he loved him. He had a genuine affection for him. He missed his companionship. So a key point here is our friendship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ should motivate us to godliness. You know who our best friends should be? Our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Those are who our best friends should be. And our friendship with them should motivate us to godliness. And then there's number 6. Verse 5, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. So here we see the Apostle Paul and his affection for Timothy's family. They have a sincere faith. His grandmother Lois, his mother Eunice, they had a sincere faith. We don't see anything about his father. This would be a challenge to the dads. This should be a challenge to the dads that you're the priest for your family. It should be up to the dads to be the one that instructs the children in godliness. But sadly, it's up to the mother. Now, I think that's what the case was here. It was the grandmother, Lois, the mother Eunice, that taught Timothy how to love the Lord. So as a key point here, our family should motivate us to godliness. Dads, husbands, do you motivate your wives to godliness? Mothers, do you motivate your husbands to godliness? Do you encourage one another in godliness? Do you encourage your children to godliness? Do you encourage your family to godliness? Well, I hope these 6 points that we learned this morning will motivate us to godliness. Let's pray together, maybe. Our Father, we do thank you, Father, for your word. And these 6 things that we looked at this morning. I do pray, Father, that they would motivate us to live a life of holiness and godliness. And to help us, Father, to grow in our walk with you. And to help us grow in our sanctification. Father, I pray if there's anyone here this morning, or anyone that is watching, or anyone that is listening, either this morning or in the future, that has never trusted the finished work of Christ, I pray, Father, that they will come to a saving knowledge of having Christ as their Savior before it is eternally too late. And Father, all of us that are here this morning, or all of us that are watching, or all of us that are listening, I pray, Father, that we would all be motivated in our lives to pursue holiness and to live a life of spiritual growth and sanctification. May you bless us. May you bless this time together. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, let's stand if you will. Pastor Ken's going to come lead us in our dismissal hymn. I want to encourage you to be back tonight at 6 o'clock for our prayer time. We always pray together on Sunday nights, and then we'll have our Bible study. I want to encourage you to be back, and then we'll have our quick business meeting tonight. But thank you for being here this morning. I'll be in the back greeting you as you leave this morning. Pastor Ken.
For 201, there is the Redeemer. Aren't you glad today? And that's a motivating fact as well. That Redeemer is Jesus Christ our Lord. Sing with me.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit to the work on earth is done.
When I stand in glory,
when I stand in glory, I will see his face. There I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit to on earth is done.
All right. As we pray together, we want to say, as the song just said, thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Father, I pray that you would dismiss us now and bring us back gladly for this evening's service as we study the Word again and pray together. We just thank you for a great day of teaching in our Sunday school, worship time, and our time in the Word today. Dismiss us with your protection, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.